Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
We're in the final few days of the US election race, with both Donald Trump and Kamala Harris holding late night rallies. He in Arizona, she in Las Vegas. Jennifer Lopez joined the Harris campaign saying, "I believe in the power of women. Women have the power to make the difference in this election." While in Arizona, Donald Trump was joined on stage by Tucker Carlson for an in-person interview. Well, for more on all of this, we're joined now by Marion McKeown, US correspondent with the Business Post, and Greg Swenson, who's chairman of Republicans Overseas. And you're both welcome. Greg, I'll begin with you. Interesting last night to have Donald Trump ruling out a cabinet position for Elon Musk. He did leave the door open, though, for a place at the cabinet table for RFK Jr., who, as we know, has dropped out of the race. So what is happening there, do you think? Is Donald Trump looking to leverage some of the support that RFK had in the last few days of this campaign?
I think that might be part of it. But I think more importantly, it's the issues that RFK Jr., you know, is really concerned about or follows well. You know, make America healthy again. So, you know, it's a campaign slogan. But I think there's some merit to it, and it reaches an audience, especially suburban women, which is a demographic that President Trump and Republicans in general have had some difficulty with in the last few election cycles. So I think it's a good move. I think it's important, you know, to have the party of the big tent, and it sort of demonstrates the realignment of the parties in many ways, that, you know, you have someone like RFK and Elon Musk and Tulsi Gabbard, you know, that have come across to the party in this new alignment.
And what is it with Elon Musk? He doesn't want a cabinet position. Is that where we're at?
Yeah, I think it would be very difficult for someone like Elon Musk because of all the companies that he runs, but also the holdings that he has. It would be really difficult to unwind his positions. And I would imagine there's some time constraints there, although he is, you know, kind of amazing in the way he's able to manage the different companies in his portfolio. But I think it would be a challenge.
So then to the Democrats, and they're still relying on celebrities, on big music stars, Marion, to get the supporters out. Jennifer Lopez this time, and they'll be hoping that any damage done from Biden's garbage comments has been forgotten. So what are they hoping for in the last couple of days?
Well, I think, just to put that in context, Claire, I think that the Biden garbage comment, which he has said, you know, if you have an apostrophe in it, he was only referring to the comedian, the really offensive comedian that made the comments about Puerto Rico being a floating island of garbage. I do not think that's important. Joe Biden is not on the ticket. He has been shuffled off to the sidelines. This is about Kamala Harris. I think what is much more resonating with people here, in my view, is that the comments that were made on the stage of Madison Square Garden, that 6 hour really an orgy of hatred, where it wasn't just Puerto Ricans who were insulted. It was Jewish people, it was Palestinians, it was gay people, it was women, it was black people. It was an absolutely horrific event. And I think that it has really made a lot of Americans feel very, very squeamish. And then Donald Trump, instead of distancing himself, instead of just saying, "I have nothing to do with this comedian who was, you know, one of the key people, but not the only one by any means, who's making these offensive comments," he goes and dresses up in a garbage man's outfit and gets into a truck. You know, people are talking about how it's his Mike Dukakis moment. We may remember back in whenever it was 1988 or whenever Mike Dukakis got into an armored tank with a helmet on. He looked ridiculous. Anybody seeing Trump dressing up, you know, Halloween it may be, in his orange garbage person's outfit, it was just so tone deaf and so stupid. Now, as you say, he was in New Mexico earlier today, and he was in Nevada, and he was in Arizona. Big push out in the West Coast. But again, in Arizona, this business with Tucker Carlson is so bizarre, because he started speaking, the violent rhetoric that's coming out of the Trump camp in this campaign is really chilling. And it's not just immigrants. The regressive way he's talking about women, about enemies of the state, about political rivals. And he spoke about Liz Cheney and said, let's see how she'd feel with, I think he said, 9 guns pointed at her face, you know, that she should go to a war zone. It's just really unacceptable. I think, you know, there is a narrative out there that Trump is going to win this, that it's inevitable. It's all being put out there by his people to justify his challenge if he loses. To my mind, the Harris campaign is a far superior, it's a much tighter campaign. And I think that there's a very good chance that she could run away with this thing. I'm probably going to be wrong.
That's not what the polls are telling us. And maybe, Greg, if we could hear from you on some of what Marion has had to say there. I mean, do you think that his dumpster setup, where he dressed up as a man who works on a dumpster truck, that is going to fly in his face, or does it just play to the base?
I think there's a couple of reasons it works. One is it does play to the base, and that's kind of part of the strategy. Is this is an election where turnout and the enthusiasm in the parties is important, because the percentage of undecideds and persuadables is relatively low in this election. Doesn't mean it can't move the needle. If you have 3% undecided in a very close race, you don't want to ignore that, and I don't think he is. But it does appeal to the base, and just like the celebrity endorsements probably don't swing any persuadables, but it does gin up the base for the Democrats. So I think it's a long list. I think it's amazing that the perceptions from different views on the events like Madison Square Garden, where by most arguments it was very successful. And I think if you look, you know, beyond the sort of bad joke from this comedian that no one had ever heard of, so bad choice for sure, and I wish that they hadn't chosen him. But generally speaking, the reviews were fantastic. You had 100,000 people show up for a capacity of 20,000. And if you looked at the audience, I mean, it was funny that the Democrats were trying to, you know, say it was a fascist rally or a Nazi rally. It probably, if you were hoping for a fascist rally, it wasn't a very good one, because you had so many people of color in the audience. You had people of color as speakers. You had many Jewish people there. You had flags with the Star of David on it hanging everywhere. I saw a lot of yarmulkes. So it was a really positive event. And if you look at what's happened in the two respective campaigns, the reason Trump is picking up and he's now leading in the polls after trailing for most of late July and August is because the campaign is much more positive. And whereas the Kamala Harris campaign really turned negative sometime in late August when they started with this fascism and Nazi business, it's backfired. And you've seen, you know, for example, in the Fox interview, she was on in 27 minutes with Bret Baier, and she said Trump 23 times. Now, when Trump was on with the Wall Street Journal the same day, over an hour, mentioned Harris once. So there's a different tone in the campaigns right now. So I would argue the Trump campaign is having some great success. And as in many ways, even though he slips into Trumpisms occasionally, he still is much more positive than he has been over the last 2 years.
Marion, what do you say to that, that the Harris campaign really has fallen into this trap, if you like, of focusing on Trump, when we see from the polls that the cost of living is the most pressing issue? That could be a difficulty for her.
I think that she has to do both things. I think when you have people like John Kelly, Trump's former chief of staff, a four-star general, and let me tell you, he is no liberal. He was one of the people, he was the Homeland Security Secretary when the separation of migrant children from their parents' policy was brought in. He oversaw it as the chief of staff for Donald Trump, and then he joined the board of the company that ran the centres where the separated children were kept. So this is not a liberal. He spoke to the New York Times at length. He was so alarmed by what Trump was saying about using the military against left people, against anti-Trump protesters, against his political, who he sees as his political enemies, like Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff. And he was so disturbed by this, he came out, did an interview to the New York Times. It was recorded as well. And he said that Trump is a fascist, basically, that he fits all the definitions. Mark Milley, who was the top person in the entire Pentagon in the whole US military, described Trump as being fascist to his core. You cannot, if you are a candidate and you're talking about a threat to democracy, ignore that. Now, what Kamala Harris did there, she was asked during a CNN town hall if she thought Trump was a fascist, and she was asked directly, and she said, yes, I do. I think that was a reasonable answer. I think that what I look at, Claire, is demographics rather than polls. The polls are telling us nothing. Most of the polls are skewed by either Republicans or Democrats to give favorable answers. Very, very few of them are reliable. What I think is interesting is demographics. If you look at the early polling, women are outpolling men by over 10% in the early polling. If you look at the number of Gen Z voters, 41 million Gen Z voters are voting this time. They had the highest turnout in the 2022 midterms, which normally don't attract voters in any great numbers, of any previous generation since polling began. They are very concerned about climate change, about gun violence, and they tend to be progressive. You also have at the other end the silent generation. 10 million of those have died who tend to vote more conservative since the last election. I think Harris is running a very good, generally positive campaign. As I say, I it's crazy to make predictions, but my sense is bringing in RFK, an anti-vaxxer, you know, a crank, basically. And he was on being interviewed today saying that Trump is putting him in charge of all of the health agencies, including the CDC, including the Food and Drug Administration. It's just bonkers. You know, so I think people have genuine, legitimate concerns about what Trump is proposing. And, you know, apart from the mass deportations, apart from the tariffs, and I think it'd be very interesting to see how all this plays out. But okay. I do say this, that if Harris does win, there will be absolute chaos, because Trump, they're already primed. They're already saying there are people cheating. They're already going after Pennsylvania. It's going to be a rocky couple of weeks.
Well, look, that's something, Greg, I want to ask you about. I mean, we're going to hear an awful lot about voter fraud, because Donald Trump last night, in his remarks, he repeated the unfounded claims about widespread voter fraud. We know a lot of people have voted early. So should we be getting ready for very long days ahead after the vote happens? And lots of contested areas, lots of contested ballots and votes?
Well, I think the campaign is surely being more proactive this time around than in 2020. I thought it was a mistake to wait till after the election to make these arguments when, you know, like when Pennsylvania changed the laws, which typically are voting laws have to be changed by the legislature, and it was changed at the judiciary level, and that was, you know, against the law. And I think they should have dealt with that before the election instead of making a big stink about it after. So I think they're just being proactive to make sure people have confidence that the election was run without interference. And that's why they, you know, scrubbed the voter rolls in Pennsylvania. I mean, in Virginia, for example. And then, you know, one judge said, no, put them back on. And then the Supreme Court said, no, you can take them off. They were people that had self-identified as non-citizens. And so there was really no reason to have them on the voter roll. So, yeah, well, you know, I think the campaign is being proactive ahead of time so that they don't have irregularities that they can question later. Now, in terms of the demographics, it's true, women are voting earlier, but Republicans are voting at a much higher percentage than they ever had early. And they're leading in many cases in registrations and mail-ins, at least by party registration. So that's a good side for Republicans. But women always vote earlier. Okay, men don't like to vote early and by mail. So I'm surprised it's only 10% difference in male-female right now. So,
and how do you think, Greg, women will respond to what Donald Trump said? I'm going to look after women whether they like it or not.
Yeah, I mean, he's clumsy in the way he delivers things, okay? Because what he's implying there is that women don't like him, which is true. Like, he's not as popular with women as he is with men. But I think we might be surprised by some of the voting by demographics. First of all, the Democratic coalition, is really broken right now. They've always been dependent on identity groups. They cannot win without, you know, winning 88-90% of the African-American vote or 70% of the Hispanic vote. That coalition is breaking up. You're seeing a massive shift. Kamala is down at least 10% in both demographics. versus Obama and Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden. So that should be troubling to the campaign. Can they make it up with the white suburban women vote? Perhaps they can.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Final word to you, Marion, on this. Do you think in the final days that if Kamala Harris doesn't switch the narrative here, make people concerned about what she is concerned about, that this election may slip from her? Or are these final days important at all? Has the election already been won or lost?
Oh, I think every moment is important. About 60 million people have voted already, though, Claire, which is a huge number. It's a very significant number. Obviously, in COVID, the numbers were higher because people couldn't get out to vote. But I think she is making both arguments. The events that I've been seeing her at, she's putting across the case of that she's listening to ordinary people. She wants to bring down costs. I don't think her federal ban on gouging, price gouging, is especially effective, but I think she's got a number of other decent ideas. I think she also just comes across as a sane alternative. We've had Trump for 9 years. People are tired of his shtick. They're tired, I think, of the hatred and the division. Now, not everyone is. Half of America, it is split down the middle, if you believe the polls. And the people who are in the tank for Trump are absolutely determined and motivated. They believe he was robbed in 2020 and they're not going to see it happen again. But equally on the other side, there are people who are so alarmed by Trump, so appalled by his rhetoric, and so shocked by what he's proposing to do across the board that they are determined to come out and stop him. It'll go down to the wire, but I really do think that on balance, she has run a far superior campaign.
We'll leave it there. Thank you both, Marion McKeown and Greg Swenson.
Thanks, Claire. Great to be here.
Thank you.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.